The next case is 98-2688, State of Ohio versus Anna de Ramo Vista versus Chintalapopoli. Chintalapopoli.
Now we're down to two people. No, one person.
Ms. Verilski.
One in the full ten.
Taking care of the children, the state of Ohio, had the children stayed in Ohio. I mean, it seems to me the 6th District relied too much, and the 10th District too much on residency of a non-payer. Certainly, the person who's supposed to get the support, the children, might provide a nexus for the state of Ohio if the children had stayed in Ohio. But my question, I guess, is can you make an argument that the CSEA is an agent for reception of the children's money, and therefore that's a sufficient nexus because you don't have the husband or the mother and children in Ohio? So what's the nexus that permits Ohio to exert jurisdiction?
That's twofold answer. One, in State versus GAMTT, which is out of the state of Wisconsin, the Ohio Supreme Court of Wisconsin in 1996 made a determination that the state is a pure absence. In that particular case, the defendant lived in California, the children lived in Texas. The Ant case in the Ohio Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, felt that because there was a court order in Wisconsin, that potentially there was concurrent jurisdiction in the state of Texas where the children resided.
But there's a section in the Ohio law for not paying under a court order. That isn't what he was indicted for, is it?
Yes.
Oh, what?
Yes.
For failure to pay under the court order?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for
Dr. Chintalapopoli, didn't he testify? He testified, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And so someone knows his address, I would guess, up there.
No.
That's still a secret?
He claims at the trial wasn't living in the city of Sonoma. I just didn't know where he was living. He might have even been living in India. When they asked him about the address, he provided to the court in response to the court's decree. He stated he wasn't living at that address, but he would never actually say where he was living or where he had lived.
We don't know how he was located to testify to
some of the facts. We found him through a warrant, and he was extradited from out west. I can't remember what state out west he mentioned about it. But by his own testimony, he had been in India and back to the United States. Where do you know he knew?
I guess I want to follow up on the Uniform Support Act. Is there, I was curious, and you mentioned, I was curious as to why that is not involved here, but you said it's because Pennsylvania would not accept an Ohio order for enforcing an Ohio order in Pennsylvania where the mother lives because they didn't know where the father is.
Right. Under the Uniform Act, the appellant alleges we did not mention it in our brief, but it is in the footnote. And it is in the appellant's brief. But under that, situation, you don't have service on the defendant in this particular case. If we went to modify, you just change the jurisdiction. There's no service, there's no indication that the defendant was, number one. And it is not part of the record, and I should clarify that Pennsylvania would not accept it, but we called determining why they would not accept it, and that was because the case was on the defendant. So there was no way that they had to take over the order from the Crown Police Court in Harrington and try to enforce it, and it was an act of defense. The second thing, too, Your Honor, even if Erie Pennsylvania would take over this order, they would not have taken over the arrearages. Erie County would still be responsible for collecting the arrearages for as long as he had the order. And that's part of the statute. And that's 3115.07, Part B.
Counsel, is your claim the 2901.11A4 is the appropriate section?
I believe there's three appropriate sections under the 2901.11. I believe, but you can still make a nexus for the A1. I believe because in this particular case, because there's a specification, and the specification is that did not pay for 26 weeks child support in 104 consecutive weeks, in order to demonstrate that element of the enhancement, we have to use a judgment entry, we have to use a court order. This is where our first appeal is wrong, and this is where State v. Rosenstock, which is a case that our court of appeals relied on, is wrong. The second hearing of the case is under A4 because it was a defendant potentially was out of state. We don't know where he was. He violated the law inside of the state of Ohio, which omission affects a legitimate interest in the state of Ohio. A child support laws are geared to the end for the best interest of the child and also to prevent dependents from becoming awarded to the state. The fact that we have entered,
how are they going to be awarded to the state of Ohio if they're in Pennsylvania?
Yes, but because we entered into the Uniform Interstate Agreement, Your Honor, that interest then transposed to an interest in Pennsylvania also, because now we're under a uniform agreement. Plus, you have to remember that there's a compelling interest in Ohio as far as the money that was expended in this case, trying, number one, to enforce the court order, the fact that CFPA tried over 50 times to find out where the defendant was, plus even if the mother goes back here in the prosecution of the case. So there's some very legitimate interest, and because now all 50 states have adopted the Uniform Interstate Agreement, their compelling interest of protecting the children also in your state also become our compelling interest.
These cases usually arise when the local agency is providing support and wants to collect the support from the, quote, deadbeat father. That happened here?
No, because we never got any money from him. He ended up being incarcerated.
Oh, no, but did the state of Ohio and Erie County, did they provide through their welfare system support for these three children?
These children I do not know. To my knowledge, they did not, but I'm not sure Pennsylvania did.
Okay, now if the three of them living in Pennsylvania had sought and didn't have any other source of income, had sought support from the child support agency or the, we always call it the welfare department, and I never liked that very much, the ADC group, if they had sought relief under that section and had come to Ohio and said, we want to be supported, would Ohio have been required to support them? No, living in Pennsylvania.
Would Ohio have to support him while they're living in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Not to my knowledge, but I don't know that.
Okay. So you really have to bottom jurisdiction on the divorce decree itself.
Correct.
The court had jurisdiction over him, in personam jurisdiction over him at the time of the divorce, and there's never been anything to divest that.
No.
But Counsel, isn't civil jurisdiction different than criminal jurisdiction? No one would doubt the court might have civil jurisdiction, but the question is whether it has criminal jurisdiction. Doesn't it have to comply with 2901.11?
Yeah.
Criminal law jurisdiction?
Correct. And I think our contention is we do comply not only under A1, A4, but also under subsection D, which provides when offense is committed under the laws of the state of Ohio, and it appears beyond a reasonable doubt. That the offenses or any elements either took place in Ohio or in another jurisdiction, and don't know where those jurisdictions were, then it is presumption that Ohio would have jurisdiction over that particular defendant.
Okay, you didn't argue that. I was going to ask you about D, because you didn't argue that. I don't think you argued that in your brief.
I did not see it. In brief, no.
That's
and that just popped up preparing for our argument.
Because it seems like it's a fairly strong argument for your side.
After reading it, yes, I would agree. And I think it's appropriate because you don't know where he was. He did violate the law in the state of Ohio by not providing support. And he did this when he was in jurisdictions we don't know where.
Counsel, does a person under 2901.11A4 necessarily have to be these children? In other words, I think you make the argument that while out of the state, you are missed to perform a legal duty. That's the legal duty to pay the child support bill, as the divorce court indicated he was to do it, which omission affects the legitimate interest of the state. In other words, if the state is impotent in collecting child support that it's required to collect because the defendant simply leaves the state and ignores it, it's your argument that it makes a mockery of the court order by simply leaving the state. And it affects the legitimate interest of the state of Ohio in having its court orders enforced for the payment of support.
Correct.
So is it your argument that it affects the legitimate interest of the state if an individual leaves the state and deliberately ignores the state order in the state of Ohio?
I think that's one of the compelling interests.
Despite the fact that we can no longer protect these children and protect them. Any person property, the person is not in the state at the time. But other persons are. And if he can get away with ignoring a court order to pay child support to a child support bureau in Ohio, it affects the legitimate interest of others in the state because they can watch him get away with paying child support.
Correct. It's time the state of Ohio,
as I
said, remove the court appeals.
Thank you, Ms. Borowski. Professor Hand.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Craig Russell, and I represent the appellees, which I'm not used to doing, Anadrama Gupta Chintalapalli. It took me some time to learn to say. The Court of Appeals correctly determined that the Erie County Common Pleas Court did not have jurisdiction in this matter. Ohio Revised Code Section 2901.11 sets forth the jurisdiction of the state of Ohio over criminal offenses. Specifically, 2901.11A1 mandates that an element of the offense must take place in Ohio. The elements of criminal non-support A2, which was the offense for which the appellee was convicted, not A4, A2, states in pertinent part, number one, no person, number two, shall abandon or fail to provide adequate support to, number three, the person's child who is under 18 years of age. None of these elements occurred in Erie County, Ohio. There was no evidence that the appellee was a resident of Erie County, Ohio during the time period set forth in the indictment. And there was uncontroverted evidence that the mother and the children subject to the support order were not residents of Erie County or even the state of Ohio during the relevant time period.
Do you agree with Ms. Zerowski's explanation of why the Uniform Support Act does not apply here and why it can't be applied?
No, I do not.
That in the record, do we know, is that the record or?
I believe that the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, there are a couple of things. That provides for registration of orders, provides for establishment of support in another state. It also provides for registration of out-of-state orders. It is my position that the order from Ohio could have been registered in Pennsylvania. That's where the mom and the children live. And as a result of the registration in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania authorities could then have made whatever determination they wanted to make about pursuing the appellate, wherever he may be. And the argument that, this about subsection D in the jurisdiction, that he didn't know where the appellee was, well, think about this for a minute. He was extradited. They knew where he was. He was in Wyoming. So if they found out where he was, then they know where he is. Therefore, they can assert jurisdiction under U.S. stuff. Therefore, Erie County has no business in this, being involved in this case.
The registration requires service.
It would require service. They would have to find and bring him in for service.
So let's assume that they look, they can't find him. They finally find him. That is the point at which then they have to transfer the registration.
Correct.
What happened to the arrearage?
The
arrearage that occurred in Ohio.
The arrearage in Ohio goes to Pennsylvania because you're registering an out-of-state order. I disagree with that. That's on an establishment of support. You can't go back and get money that has not previously been has an order to be paid. But in this case, you're given full faith and credit to the order of another court. Once it's registered in Pennsylvania, then the arrearage does apply. This is done every day in courts in this state. Courts from out-of-state orders are registered, the child support orders are registered from out-of-state in Ohio. The prosecuting attorney then makes an effort to collect not only the current support, but the arrearages as well. But that's kind of a separate and distinct issue. We're talking about a criminal prosecution here. I don't have a whole lot to say about whether a child support arrearage or whether it be a civil contempt finding. That's a separate issue.
Counsel, I want to address that, and I'm wondering your argument that you first posed, which is tracks the decisions of Rosenstock and the Court of Appeals, all deals with criminal jurisdiction under 11A1, and we've also talked about 4, which speaks of the while out of state omitting to perform a legal duty that violates an interest of the state. Why is I don't see your. I guess I need to know your argument on that. Why that doesn't apply to
the one that was just brought up 5 minutes ago.
Well, wasn't that? I mean, it was a brief too.
A not D wasn't.
No, 4.
A4.
Yeah. While out of this state, a defendant omits to perform a legal duty imposed by the laws of the state, which omission affects a legitimate interest in protecting, governing, blah, blah, blah.
My answer to that is simply that there is no legitimate interest in this state in protecting, governing, or regulating the person, property, thing, transaction, or activity, because we're talking about criminal non-support. Where did that non-support occur? That non-support occurred where the mother and the children live. That's in Pennsylvania, not in Ohio. The father doesn't live in Ohio. The children don't live in Ohio. The mom doesn't live in Ohio. What in the world is Erie County, Ohio, doing prosecuting for criminal non-support?
Let me ask you you've already admitted that they can't transfer registration.
So they have the duty to
what? So who has the obligation to find him?
Pennsylvania.
They don't have the case. They can't transfer without finding him. They can't transfer without service.
indicate this to you. The prosecution chose to prosecute this case under 29-1921-A2, not A4. A2 speaks in terms of the obligations to provide support. A4 speaks in terms of the registration, the prosecution under a court order, that there was a court order, domestic relations court, and that he's not following that order. He was prosecuted under A2. Because he wasn't prosecuted under A4, which does allow Ohio courts and does allow a venue, proper venue, but that's not what he was prosecuted under. They chose to prosecute him under A2, not A4. Had he been prosecuted under A4, I still don't think there's jurisdiction under Rosenstock, but if you choose to overrule Rosenstock and understand him, I think there's problems there as well.
Did he have legal duty to support his children whether there was a court order to do so or not?
Does he have a legal duty to support his children in Ohio? Whether there was a court order or not?
Sure.
No, because he's not a resident of the state of Ohio. There's no proof that he's a resident of the state of Ohio.
At the time he submitted himself to the jurisdiction of the divorce court?
In 1985.
At that time. But at the time in this indictment, it has specific dates.
1990, July 1990 through July 1996, two-year period, three counts.
Do you agree that Judge Resnick may have, let me ask you this. If the children were in Ohio at the time of the indictment for the non-support, would that have supported a prosecution for failing to provide support to Ohio's interests? Would it have been sufficient enough that the children were in Ohio?
Under Zander, it would have been.
What do you think?
Under Zander would have been. That's a Supreme Court case that even though it was decided in 1910, which apparently there's some problem with my esteemed opponent with regard to the age of the case, it has never been overruled. It's still law.
But we don't know that the criminal jurisdiction statute read the same way in 1910.
That's true.
So don't we have to decide whether Judge Resnick said too much when he said that you have to live in the state in order to have the court have jurisdiction? To that extent, the court misspoke, didn't you? What if the children are here?
There are two issues. There's a jurisdiction issue and a venue issue. The venue issue actually was not decided by the 6th Appellate District. That that argument, which we did raise, was rendered moot because they decided the jurisdiction issue. So we'll talk about venue and jurisdiction. Under Rosenstock, says the jurisdiction under 29-1921-A2 is the residence of the outlet or parent at the time the complaint is made, so it would be a public residence. Standard says that venue is the county where the child resided where the complaint is made, at the time the complaint is made. So there is some, if you want to mumble and intermix jurisdiction and venue, which I know we do, but we're not supposed to do, Standard says one thing and Rosenstock says another. I would agree with you. But none of them say that when the appellee does not live in the jurisdiction and the mother and the children do not live in the jurisdiction, that Ohio has jurisdiction. None of them say that. It's one or the other. In this case, I believe that the appellant wants you to overrule or ignore Sander and overrule Rosenstock and apply some new standard.
Why does 29-01-11-D not apply to give the state's jurisdiction?
E?
D. D as in dog.
D? I would say it could reasonably be determined where the offense took place because under Sander it takes place in the state where the mother and the children reside, which would have been Pennsylvania.
So the obligation to the Erie County children, the department that collects the funds, is not an element of the crime.
No, they're
receipt of the funds.
They're receiving the funds, Mr. Chief Justice, upon the order. The order is for the obligor to pay the obligee the money. It's paid through the child support enforcement agency, but the actual order is for the Ombudsman Board to pay the obligation.
But that's part of the order, paid through the court, right?
Correct. But again, that's not the subsection that we're talking about here. Who else prosecuted
that? I'm talking about it. Because we have to write an opinion here and write the law to hopefully get it correct. And whether, if counsel misses the point, we can fill the gap, so to speak. So I'm interested in D, why D does not apply. And you've given a reason.
Yes.
Okay.
This case was tried to a jury, and the jury found defendant guilty. The judge then sentenced, as I recall, the defendant to 3 consecutive 18-month terms.
Yes, sir.
You decided to appeal.
Yes.
Did you seek a stay? Did you seek a stay in the trial court?
No.
Where's the defendant, in jail?
No, he's been released.
So he was in jail?
He was in jail.
For how long? 18 times 3?
He was in jail until the Court of Appeals rendered their opinion, from the date of the conviction until the date the Court of Appeals rendered their conviction. Their decision. I believe that was about a year.
Okay, so he was in jail for that period of time?
Yes, sir.
So there really wasn't any automatic stay?
No.
The court had to grant a stay?
That's correct.
Court discretion with the court to grant a stay?
The Court of Appeals, once they issued their decision...
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about the trial court and or the Court of Appeals discretionary.
Oh, I tried the case. There was no question the trial court would not have granted a stay. It would have granted a stay in this case. That was very clear.
Well, but doesn't the trial court have to grant a stay? They don't have?
Well, under the law, yes. Practically speaking, no.
Under the law? What law?
You say, does the trial court have to grant a stay?
Yeah.
If there are issues, yes, if there are issues that are unique, the court... So when you say stay, you mean an appellate bond?
No, I'm saying stay the judgment of the court, stay the trial court's judgment. Does the trial court have to stay its judgment upon the posting of a proper supersedious bond? Is it mandatory that the trial court grant a stay of its judgment?
No. Okay. I don't really think I follow your question.
You have, that's all.
Criminal case. I don't think there is such a procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I thought you told me something I didn't know after 19 years of doing this. I apologize.
You'll understand soon.
Where is he now? I really, truly don't know where he is. I truly don't know. I sit here and tell you I don't know. Stand here and tell you I don't know.
You must have been paid already.
Fortunately, I was appointed in this case, so I don't have to worry about that too much. I am not aware of whether the order has been transferred to Pennsylvania.
Justice, did you concede that had he been charged under the section that he violated the court order, that there might be the jurisdiction of 2911A4
Just what I think I indicated was that under standard, there would be venue. But I'm not conceding the jurisdiction because I think Rosenstock speaks specifically about the place where the defendant resides, or the obligor. But Sanders speaks in terms of venue and speaks in terms of where the mom and the children reside.
2911 is a jurisdictional statute, not a venue.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
2911 is a jurisdictional statute, not a venue.
I'm sorry, when you say A4, we're talking about A2 and A4 under 29-19-21 as well. I apologize.
No, sir. I meant using the jurisdictional statute, he admitted to perform a legal duty while out of the state. If he had failed to obey the court's order to pay support while he was out of the state, could that have brought him within the jurisdiction of the court? Had the prosecutor properly charged for failing to obey a court order?
Yes.
There isn't some remedy.
That's true.
And I guess my other question to you is, do parents have a legal duty to support their minor children over and above any duty imposed upon them by a divorce court? In other words, the divorce says the father is supposed to provide support. Does the mother still have a duty to support her children when the father does not? And vice versa.
There is a statute in the state of Ohio. It's under Title 31. I'm not sure the number, but it does require parents to support their minor children or handicapped children in the state of Ohio. Yes, there is a legal duty.
Thank you, Mr. Busnahan.
Thank you very much.
So we'll see you saved about a minute and a half of your time.
violations for this children.
Do you agree that the criminal law jurisdiction has to dovetail the criminal charge that the individual was charged with? His argument is, despite your argument, you said that he was charged with violating a court order, but he says the indictment said he was charged with not providing support to his child.
What he is failing to remember is there is an enhancement in that indictment which requires that the appellee have failed to pay child support for 26 weeks out of 104 consecutive weeks. That entails a court order. Where is he required to pay child support for 104 weeks and fail not to pay child support?
So the specifications can be used to determine whether the court has jurisdiction.
Not only jurisdiction, but using the judgment entry to demonstrate that he was ordered to pay.
Oh, I see.
He's arguing because...
But that's still not what you charged him with. Still not what you charged him with, I guess.
Yeah, that could be charged with. Failure to provide, the abandoned failure to provide for his children under 18 years of age, and also there has been a court finding that the offender has failed to provide support under Division A2 of this section for a total accumulated period of 26 weeks out of 104 consecutive weeks. That takes it from a misdemeanor of the first degree to a felony of the fourth degree. That was the charge, and that was what he was convicted of. He wasn't convicted of a misdemeanor of the first degree, which would only be no person shall abandon or fail to provide adequate support to his children under 18 years. So there is a difference between child's failure to support under 18 and the enhancements. The enhancements would require a judgment entry showing that there was a order that may impact.
Thank you, Ms. Borowski. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion of our Supreme Court.